Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, while you're turning there. Let me see how much of a privilege and an honor that it is to be back in Broken Arrow. I give honor to your pastor. I love you and appreciate you very much. I'm very thankful for this church, the great people of God. Look among you and see friends. And I hope you'll help me tonight. Amen. How many's come to have a move of the Holy Ghost? How many's come hungry to hear from the Lord? We're nothing without Him. We need Him tonight. If Jesus doesn't show up, we're in trouble. I need Him tonight. I need His touch. I need His help. I need His anointing. We need His touch. We need His help. We need that Holy Ghost anointing to fall in a few minutes. Jesus, help us tonight. God, help us tonight. Bible says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. How many is thankful for His power tonight? Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Watch this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by us, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I'm thankful for purpose. I'm thankful for a God that has a hand of destiny on our lives according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Don't faint at the trials. Don't stumble when trouble comes. Because it's gonna bring something out of you. It's gonna put something in you that's gonna manifest itself to everybody. I want to preach tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost, giving hell a glimpse of what heaven looks like. Come on, let's lift our hands. Brother Dunn, would you pray over us tonight?
Lord, we need you to move and work in this house tonight, Lord. Anoint your man of God tonight. Touch us and help us. Let each and every one of us leave changed in Jesus' name.
Hey, amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing in honor of the reading of the Word, giving hell a glimpse of what heaven looks like. On the stage of life, there are sometimes many acts, if you will, that we've got to go through, seasons that we have to endure, seasons of sowing, seasons of reaping, times where we laugh, times where we cry, times where there is joy, times where there's sadness, good times, bad times, mountains and valleys. How many can relate to what I'm talking about? Life's not always just easy and smooth sailing, but sometimes trouble come. But I'm thankful, like the song says, that trouble don't last always. We've got to keep in mind that our walk with God is not just to end up with us walking on streets of gold, but we're to take some people with us. And sometimes God uses the things that we go through as a light and as a witness to this world that is lost and dying. And I want to be somebody that the world can look on, like the Apostle Peter said, look on us. There's a constant tearing down of flesh and building up of spirit. We're made in His image. We are made in His likeness. Each day we are to grow more and more like Him. And when God came down, robed Himself in flesh, He came to this earth to experience everything that we experience and to go through everything that we go through, to endure the things that we have to endure. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus knew what it was like to be a child totally dependent upon his mother and his father to provide for him. He felt the feeling of perhaps falling and scraping his knee. His father was a carpenter. Maybe he knew what it was like to smash his finger. He was subject to the elements of this world. And I believe tonight he felt the cold, the heat, the rain, the snow, and the sun. He knew what it was like to become thirsty. He knew what it was like to feel those pains of hunger. He knew what it was like to go through some of the things that we do, the emotions, the feelings, the despair, the sadness, the anguish. We have a high priest that knows what we're going through. We have a God that has felt what we felt. I don't know about you tonight, but that comforts me that the God of heaven, the God that spoke this world into existence, has felt what I felt. He astonished the Pharisees with his knowledge at the temple as a young boy growing up. There was times where he became angry and sad. He came to be one of us, but it was for a purpose. His word tells us that he was the spotless, innocent lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And although this Jesus was just a child born of a Virgin Mary, he was no ordinary boy. From the time he visited the temple until he grew into the man that he was, destiny and purpose walked with him everywhere that he went. As he advanced in age and stature, the plan of God began to unfold in his life, and he began to take on the role as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. We understand that Jesus himself was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Shortly thereafter, entered into the wilderness of Judea. That boy that was raised amongst the Jews, he began to perform miracles, turning the water into wine. This same Jesus went to a man named Nicodemus, and he told him, "Except a man be born again, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Time goes by. Miracles, healings, revelations become something that simply happens in his presence, Brother Dunn. And I'm thankful tonight that in his presence we can still have access to all those things. He handpicked some men, some disciples. Pours into them his heart and mission, teaching them his ways, who he is. These apostles had firsthand knowledge and experience with Jesus. During his time on earth, he astounded those around him with the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. But there came a point when it all came to a crux, a climax, and Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection. Last Supper takes place, and after that, the Garden of Gethsemane. While Jesus was praying, the soldiers came to get him. And as he had spoken, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, betrays Jesus. And they take him away. Jesus is put on trial. Pilate could find no fault, but the decision was made to crucify him anyway. They made sure that this Jesus was taken care of. You've got to sometimes, when you're reading the Word of God, put yourself in the story and put yourself in the position of what these men and women were feeling and facing. I want you to imagine what he felt and what his followers felt as he was tied to a post and beaten with that cat of nine tails, that brutal whip that tore flesh from his body, broke ribs and cartilage, tendons and muscles. The Son of God took stripes on his back so that we could have our healing. And on that dreadful day, he walked up that Golgotha hill, the place of the skull. He was beaten, he was exhausted, he was bruised and in pain, forced to carry his own cross that he was to be crucified on. Simon of Cyrene was made to help carry the cross. I don't like to think about what he went through, the crown of thorns, him being nailed to the tree. They hung him on that cross and they mocked him. They laughed at him and his life withered from his body. The most selfless thing ever encountered by man was uttered when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then the Bible says he said, "It is finished." Jesus died. Joseph of Arimathea, he risked his life that day and asked Pilate if he could take away the body of Jesus. They prepared this lifeless body. They put him in a tomb. All of hell began to rejoice. And all of heaven, if you will, principalities and powers, they thought Jesus was done for. Imagine with me trying to go to sleep after witnessing that. Everybody that believed in the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that had watched him perform all these miracles, everybody was pleased. They thought they had eliminated the threat after seeing Jesus do all of these wondrous works. It must have appeared that yet again death was going to win. That death would be triumphant over life. Jesus, the Savior of the world, hope for mankind, lost the battle to death. Hell began to have a party and it looked like death had won. But I want to tell you on this cold Wednesday night that early on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. And Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Whatever you walked in here facing tonight, I want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost. You came to a church that is all about having life and life more abundantly. It's not the will of God for you to always be broken. It's not the will of God for you to always be struggling. It's not the will of God for you to be on an emotional roller coaster up one day, down the next, faithful sometimes, and then laying out a church others. God wants to give you some stability. Come on, it's not the will of God. Will you help me tonight? Are there any witnesses in this house that would testify to the power of a loving God? Is there anybody in the place that would stand up and say, "He'll be that help in time of need. He'll set your feet on a solid rock." Let's clap our hands unto the Lord right now. We know the story of his walk to the cross, his ascent into the heavenlies and how he descended into the hearts of men. But in the story of Jesus' life on earth, I want us to focus on something this evening. Really, the main point of what I'm trying to get across. And everything that Jesus went through, there's one thing that we've got to keep in mind. There's one thing that we must remember, that Jesus' response in his life, in the cross and in the grave, was something that was beyond himself. He had a love so great for you. He had a love so great for me that in spite of everything that he went through, in spite of everything that he endured, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, and yet he remained faithful to that purpose. He came to redeem us and free us from the chains of sin that were wrapped around all of us before the cross that day. He came to wipe out and pay the debt that you owed sin. He came that day. No longer would each year roll by and there be a sacrifice of earthly means, but Jesus, the innocent Lamb of God, he gave himself. Is there anybody thankful for the price that was paid? Come on. Is there anybody in this house that the cross still moves you? Is there anybody in this house that the price Jesus paid still gets a hold of your emotions? I feel like sometimes we become numb to the fact he gave everything. He went through torture. He went through abuse. Was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet remained without sin. People of God, we have no excuses. We have no reason to walk away.
You can justify it all you want to, but we have a high priest that you can't fool. We have a high priest that you can't say doesn't relate to the feeling of your infirmities, that doesn't relate to the sickness that we feel, that doesn't know what it's like to go through some things. I want to tell you tonight that the God we serve is mindful of you. The God we serve paid a price. He came down and robed himself in flesh to show us that we can live above sin, that we can live above reproach, that we can live above shame. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that still has a desire to please him, that still has a desire to live righteous, that still has a desire to live holy. I know it's Wednesday night, but I wish somebody would help me preach. There's people in this house tonight. You keep struggling with the same pains. You keep wrestling with the same devils. I come to tell you on a Wednesday night, you can get the victory over that. You can get dominion over that. You can walk out of this house with your feet on a solid rock. Let's lift our hands and pray all across this house. God, I'm asking you tonight that the Holy Ghost would begin to move, that the Holy Ghost would begin to work on us. God, I'm asking you in this place that your Spirit, God, would begin to reach for us. The Bible says that he was tempted and yet remained without sin. But in the beauty of the cross, in the majesty of his life, you've got to understand he was on eternity stage and a whole world was watching him. Was a whole world that was looking in, not only the earth, but the supernatural, Brother Yoakum, and the spirit world as well. Men and women, the devil and his demons, God and his angels. There was a whole lot riding on Jesus going to the cross that day. A whole lot riding on the fact that he was rolled in the tomb. The future of his church was dependent upon him sending his spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And at any moment, could have snapped his fingers, the curtains rolled back, the lights come on, and he could have said, I'm tired of this. I didn't come to my own people for them to treat me like this. I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. I remember a long time ago when I had to send the flood, and now after everything I've been through, they still won't accept me. No. At any moment, he could have spoke one word and everything ceased. When he was tempted in the wilderness, he did not have to resist. And while on the cross, the Bible says he could have brought down legions of angels to deliver him. But it was larger than what met the eye. There was something greater going on than what met the surface. The future of his people depended upon his resolve. Somebody listen to me tonight. It was dependent upon the fact he came also to show us what heaven looked like in the midst of an earth filled with sin and chaos and destruction and evil things. When Jesus came, it was not only to set us free, but it was to give us a glimpse. Come on, you need to see Jesus tonight and the purpose in which he came. He came, the embodiment of God, revealed in human flesh to show the world. To show. What perfection in love looked like. In the midst of those that hated him, Jesus did nothing to deserve the damage that was done him. But the Bible says God sent his son. You see, Jesus understood something. That in spite of his flesh, there was a greater plan in motion that he was a part of. And I've come to preach to somebody in this house some faith into your spirit, that whatever place you may be in the act of life, always remember that there's somebody watching you, that there is people looking in on you, and that the blood of Jesus is strong enough to keep you through any storm. Come on, you may be on a cross of suffering tonight, but you've got to remember it's bigger than you. It's about the plan of God being unfolded in your life and His glory being made manifest. I don't know what everybody's going through in this house. I don't know what you may be facing. What trial are you in? What devil do you feel like is on your trail? What addiction keeps coming? Keeps coming at you. You may very well feel like the world around you is crashing and spinning out of your control. You may feel like sin has you captive, but you came to the right place. You came to the right time. If you'll forget about the facade, if you'll let go of your pride, I promise you tonight, the Holy Ghost has come to touch you. The Holy Ghost has come to set you free. God sent you where you're at. He sees where you're at. He's never left you one time. And I felt in prayer today that the Holy Ghost sent me to tell somebody, you've got to remember, you've got an audience. Your family is watching you. Your church is being a witness of what you're going through. Your pastor's watching you. You've got a world that's watching you. God's watching you. The devil's watching you. And while he can't read your mind, know your thoughts, he is not an idiot. He's not ignorant, and he can watch your actions. He don't know everything that's going on, but he hangs back in the shadows, and he's got a good set of eyes waiting for an opportunity. No wonder the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. I've often wondered, Brother Jones, oftentimes why, as the trial got worse, it seemed like it was just a perpetual downhill cycle from there. People start struggling. They start going through things, and it feels like wave after wave after wave after wave. It's because he's watching your response to the trial. He's watching you. He's watching your response to the storm. And when he sees that weakness, he begins to apply that pressure. When you begin to sit down, he begins to step it up. God help us if we help invite the attack of the adversary by our lack of action. We're going to fall sometimes. We're going to struggle. We're going to go through trials. But you need to understand that the key to victory lies in your response to defeat. The spirit world is watching you, friend. But I made up my mind. When the enemy comes in like a flood, there is no devil in hell that's going to stop my worship. There is no trial that's going to quench my joy. There is no sickness. There is no infirmity that's going to steal my faith. No storm I'm going through is going to silence my voice. No doubt I experience is going to stop my dance. Is somebody in this house, you feel like you're in the middle of a storm. You feel like you're in the middle of a trial. I wish you'd stand up, look the devil in the eye, and say, I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to praise you, God. Come on. Come on. Somebody ought to get your hands in the air with your voice lifted. The God of heaven has come tonight to give you joy, to give you peace. Come on, musicians, come. Let's stand to our feet. I wish somebody would praise him in the face of whatever you're going through. If the devil's been after you, come on. He did not expect you tonight. In spite of everything that you went through, to raise your hands and say, God, I trust you. Some of you tonight, you're going through hell. Not very many people may know about it, but God does. And somehow, some way, I'm trying to get you to rise up in your spirit and give somebody else a glimpse of what heaven looks like, of what faith looks like, of what joy looks like, of what peace looks like. The Bible says, behold, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There's people that's watching you. You've got saints of old. If you could give me the liberty tonight from the seats of heaven that are cheering you on, I want you to know that this church believes in you, that the angels rejoice when sinners repent. But I personally believe that when a saint of God that has fallen to their knees begins to crawl and begins to make their way back to where God wants them to be, I believe that the God of heaven, that the angels, that everybody that's watching that cares begins to rejoice. I can hear tonight, come on, I can hear tonight in the Holy Ghost, somebody saying, you can make it through this. This trial, it's not always going to last. This season is not always going to be this way. Let's lift our hands and begin to pray right now. The Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost is moving right now. Looks can be deceiving. Come on, somebody help me pray tonight. Somebody help me pray tonight. When the saints of God are going through storms and the ground you're standing on is unsure, God is giving you an opportunity to give hell a glimpse of what heaven looks like. I want to tell you, there's a reason why a diamond is put in front of a black drop cloth. Because the grace of God, it can only be seen in the backdrop of a storm, in the backdrop of a trial. We read in our text that the purpose of God's church is to show the manifold wisdom of God to the world, to an audience. Reminds me of a man named Job, perfect man, righteous man, home destroyed, wealth gone, family killed. The devil did not send that trial to Job, God did. Have you considered my servant Job? God said. He went through things that are unimaginable. We think we write the story of a masterpiece when we say, even if my enemy takes me down, God, I'll still serve you. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through tonight, Job's trial was not to destroy him, but it was for the grace of God to be put on display. Job was surrounded and Job was being watched, and the entire purpose of what he went through was to give hell a glimpse of what heaven looks like. I wonder if we could come around the front together as a body. If you consider yourself a part of God's church, I want us to come. God's come to give us strength tonight. I realize we may not be hanging from the chandeliers, but I feel the Holy Ghost. He's reaching for somebody. God's trying to shine some light on what you've been going through. It's not meant to kill you. It's not meant to destroy you. If you'll be faithful to God, not only will He bring you through it, He'll restore to you what you've lost. Find somebody to pray with right now and let's lift our hands. The Holy Ghost has come. Faint not at your tribulations, for it is your glory. Come on, lift your hands. going through tonight. The blood of Jesus is calling you. Woo! He sees your tears. He sees your pain. He knows what it feels like. The spirit world's watching you. How are you going to respond tonight? Come on. Come on.